This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. You know, Rick believes the Lord is using this global pandemic to call us to a deeper love for God and our fellow man. That's why he's bringing us the fourth installment of his series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. In a little while, we're going to tell you about how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's DVD study kit called Daring Faith. This powerful tool will inspire you to new heights in your walk of faith with God. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called A Faith That Handles Wealth Wisely.
The third, and this is the one that we get right usually in more developed countries, but not always in undeveloped countries. The third is the W is workers must benefit. I have been in places all around the world where the customer benefits and the owner benefits and all the employees are stuck in sweatshops. They're not benefiting at all. They're being paid pittances, while the customer benefits from those clothes that are being made, and the owner benefits from the profit, but the workers aren't. And, you know, here in America and in other developed countries, they've learned to give pension plans and learned to give health benefits and learned to give profit sharing and learned to give how things the workers must benefit, too, if you're going to have a successful business. The customer must benefit, the owner must benefit, the worker must benefit, and then S, society must benefit. Society must benefit. At some point, your business has to start giving back to your community. I'm going to help our church. I'm going to help our hospital. I'm going to help our schools. I'm going to help the local library. That's the four marks of a great business. Customer benefits, owner benefits, worker benefits, and society must benefit. Now, let me give you two suggestions from God's word. Write these down. Proverbs 13:11 says this. Wealth, in the New Living Translation, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears, but wealth from hard work grows. Okay? So stay away. The Bible says stay away from get-rich-quick schemes. You know, if it's too good to be true, it is. Okay? It is. Shortcuts are often just a temptation. And you need to make money the old-fashioned way. You earn it. Okay? And studies have shown that the more money that you make quickly, the more you tend to lose it quickly. It tends to disappear quickly. Easy come, easy go. Here's another verse. Proverbs 1, verse 19 in the CEV version. Any wealth you get from crime robs you of your life. Did you know that? That's what the Bible says. Any wealth you get from crime robs you. If you're robbing other people, you're actually the one being robbed, because anytime we're unfair to others and we rob others of something that is justly theirs, we end up hurting ourselves. God says we rob our own lives. We rob our own lives of dignity. We rob our lives of character. We rob our lives of integrity. We rob our lives of authenticity. You become a phony. You become a fake. You become a con man, a flim-flam deceiver, and you lose your own soul. What dishonesty does to you personally is never worth the gain in profit. So God says, just don't do it. Make money honestly, okay? And don't and be fair to other people. Look at this verse. Matthew 16:26, Jesus said, your profit is worthless if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul in the process. Is anything worth more than your own soul? The answer is no. So let me ask you, do you know anyone who's selling their own soul? They're selling out in an attempt to make more money. That's a bad trade-off. It's not worth it. Nothing is worth your soul. So he says, don't rob other people. Don't be unfair to other people. Be honest with other people, or you're actually robbing yourself. By the way, speaking of not cheating other people financially, Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, asks a very pertinent question. Malachi 3:8-12 says this. Can a man rob God? Can a human rob God? Yes, God says. You've robbed me, says the Lord. But you ask, how? How are we robbing you? God says, you have robbed me of your tithe and offerings due to me, that are due to me. So you and your whole nation are under a curse for robbing me. Did you know that nations can be cursed for not tithing? You and your whole nation are under a curse for robbing me. You need to bring your whole tithe to my storehouse. That's the temple. That's the place where you worship. So that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord. The Lord God all-powerful. And see, I dare you, he says, I see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing on your life that you'll not have room enough for it. Okay, that's a dare. This is the only time in Scripture where God says you can prove that I exist. He says, prove it by tithing. He says, I dare you. This is a Pepsi challenge verse. I dare you. You want to prove that I exist. Start tithing and see if I don't pour out so much blessing that you'll not have room enough for it. Then he says, then I will protect your crops from being devoured by pests, and I will prevent the fruit in your fields from shriveling before harvest, and everybody around you will call you blessed. What a passage. What a passage. Now, of course, this is just one of many classic promises of God in the Bible about tithing. And there are more promises about giving, and there are more promises about generosity and in the Bible than tithing, 10% of your income back to God, than there are promises about any other subject. Why? Because God is a generous God, and he wants you to learn, while you're here on earth, massive generosity. He wants you to learn how to be massively generous. He wants you to be like him. He wants us to learn to be free from the love of money. And the only known antidote to materialism, the only antidote to materialism is generosity. The only antidote to living in a society that constantly tells you to get all you can all you get, is to give.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional, or if you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Jesus said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." Matthew 9:29. That's an amazing statement. Jesus is saying that you get to choose how much God blesses you and how much God uses you in his plan for the world. So how is that possible? The answer is faith. Daring faith is the key to fulfilling God's will in your life, and it's the secret to experiencing miracles in your life. You'll want to journey with Pastor Rick through the Daring Faith Bible study as he examines true biblical faith and looks at the lives of people who are commended for their faith in the Bible. If you're ready to break out of your comfort zone and do what God has called you to do, then order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren today. These videos are packed with inspiring teaching that will free you up to become the history maker you were made to be. Be bold, step out of the ordinary, and live a life of daring faith. Right now, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the 6-session Daring Faith DVD and workbook. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with 2 R's in the middle, .com.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
Every time you give, you break the grip of materialism in your life. Every time you give, you're saying, God, I trust all those promises that you made about generosity and tithing, and I believe you'll take care of me if you honor me. For those of you who don't know this, the word tithe means 1/10. It means 10%. And throughout Scripture, God has given the command that we're to give back to him the first 10% of everything we make. That's called tithing. Now, why does God ask us to do that? Well, he certainly doesn't need our money. Okay, he's not poor. He's not broke. He doesn't need our money. It's all his in the first place. He just loans it to us while we're alive, and then he turns it over to somebody else, loans it to somebody else. But the Bible says we are to practice this principle of putting God first in our income, giving him the first 10% back for 3 reasons, past, present, and future. First, we give 10% back to God out of gratitude for the past. God, I wouldn't have any of this if it weren't for you. I wouldn't have any. It's out of gratitude. Second, for priorities straight in the present. God, I'm saying you are first place in my life, in my time and in my money and in my relationships and in every other area. Whatever you want God to bless, put him first in. Okay? Whatever you want God to bless, put him first in. Then Jesus said, if you seek my kingdom first and you make me your top priority, I'll take care of all the other needs in your life. Now, the third reason we tithe is for the future, to demonstrate trust in God. God, I believe you're going to take care of me in the future. I believe that these promises are not lies. I believe that they're legit. I believe that as I'm faithful to your command today, you're going to be faithful to me in the future. You know what's the craziest thing I've ever heard of? Some people trust God to keep his promises to save them and take them to heaven, but they don't trust his promise to care for them financially if they put him first by tithing. What's the logic of that? If you can't trust him in your finances, how in the world can you trust him for your salvation? If you don't trust him for one, how do you trust him, not trust him for the other? Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 is just another of the many hundreds of promises about generosity in the Bible. It says this, honor the Lord, Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord by giving him the last part of all you make. No, it doesn't say that. Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all that your land produces. I don't give God my leftovers. He says, if you do, he'll fill your barns to overflow grain and your barrels will overflow with the finest vines. Now, let me ask you a real question. Do you believe that promise of God? Or do you think we should just cut it out of Scripture? Take an exacto knife and cut that verse out because you really don't believe it. If you do believe it, how are you showing it? Are you tithing? You want the blessing of God. Whatever you want the blessing of God, put him first in that area of your life. You know, years ago, a wealthy CEO, a friend of mine, told me, Rick, Pastor Rick, be sure to tell people that the best time to start tithing is when they're in debt. And I said, why? He said, because they need God's help to get out of debt. Okay, so let's review. And how do I use my money wisely so I have the blessing of God on whatever he gives me? First, in accumulating wealth, God says, don't hoard it foolishly, save it wisely. Last week we talked about that. Then he says, in acquiring wealth, the way you make it, God says, don't make it dishonestly, instead treat others fairly, okay? Don't cheat other people. And then finally, in allocating wealth, how you use it, he says this, don't waste it selfishly. Don't waste it selfishly. When you've got it, and I've given it to you, don't waste it selfishly. James 5, verse 5, here's the third warning. You've lived on earth thinking only of yourself and your luxuries, indulging every whim and pleasure you have. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying, don't confuse your net worth with your self-worth. They're not the same. Your self-worth is not based on your net worth. And never confuse your value as a person with your valuables. You don't need valuables to prove you're valuable. In other words, you don't need bling. You don't need status symbols. You don't need bling to show off. Don't even use it to show off. Proverbs 13, verse 7 says this, a pretentious, showy life is an empty life, but a plain and simple life is a full life. Now, James ends these three warnings by saying in verse 6, he says this, James 5, 6. He said, you know what? You fattened yourselves and you've lived in ways that caused innocent people to be condemned and die. What does that mean? How have I, the way I've lived, caused innocent people to be condemned and die? Well, if I'm piling up luxuries while other people are starving to death, when I could be helping them, then I am responsible. And if people are dying without food, and I've got so much food that I'm getting fatter and fatter, there's a problem here. So what am I supposed to do if I'm not supposed to spend it all on myself? Well, it's real simple. Here he says, share it generously. Share it generously. Did you know that God is testing you to see how much he can trust you with? And he says, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in much. But God is testing you to see what you're doing with what you've been given. What are you doing with what you've been given? If God sees you faithful, he will give you more of what you've been given. Can God trust you with greater blessing? Let me end with a couple of promises. Here's one. Proverbs 11:24. It's possible to give freely and become more wealthy, but those who are stingy will lose everything. Okay? There are makers in life, and there are takers in life, and there are givers in life. Okay? If my whole life is about taking and hoarding and saving for me, he says, you're going to lose it all. He says, you'll lose everything. But he said, here's another verse, Proverbs 11:25. I love this verse. The generous person will prosper. I have found that to be true in my life, that the generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes other will himself be refreshed. Since I was a young boy, I have tried to be generous, giving more and more and more away. And you know what? I can't outgive God. I'm giving you my testimony today. I'm living proof that he who refreshes other will himself be refreshed, that the generous person will be blessed. Now, these are the three ways that God wants you to use your money wisely, regardless of how much or how little you've got. And what happens? Okay, let me ask this. What happens when you do what we just talked about? When you do what God says to do with what he's given you? You don't hoard it, but you save it wisely, okay? And you don't make it dishonestly, but you're fair with everybody else. And you don't just use it selfishly on yourself, but you share it with other people. What happens? He gives you more. He gives you more because he can trust you. And not only that, it comes without any shame or any guilt or any regret. The last verse on your outline sums it up. Proverbs 10:22. When the Lord blesses you with riches, you have nothing to regret. When the Lord blesses you with riches, you have nothing to regret. You know, Bob was driving, and when he took his young son to McDonald's, he bought him a large order of French fries. And his son was sitting in the front seat, and Bob was driving. And he said, man, that smell of those French fries wafted over to my nose, and they smelled so good, I reached over to just grab one little French fry from my son's large fries. And when I did it, he said, my son kind of slapped my hand and said, Dad, you can't have one. These are my fries. And Bob said, you know, as I'm driving along, I had three thoughts instantly in my mind. He said, number one, my child has forgotten that I am the source of all he's got. I'm the source of it all. I brought him to McDonald's. I ordered him for McDonald's. I paid for them to McDonald's. I handed them to him. The only reason he has fries is because of me. He said, you know, the second thing I thought was, my child doesn't realize I could take him away if I wanted to. Okay, if I wanted to, I could just grab the whole thing and take him away. I'm the parent. I'm the dad. I could take him away. So that's all you get because you're selfish. Or if I wanted to, I could buy my son a truckload of French fries. If I wanted to, I'd just go out and buy him a whole truckload of French fries. He said, the third thing I realized is that I didn't need his fries. Okay, I could have easily gotten them on my own. If I wanted some, I could have gotten them on my own. But I did want him to learn to be unselfish. Those are the three lessons God wants you to learn with your money. It's not your money. You don't really own anything. Everything you think you own is on loan. And it's God's money, and he's loaned it to you, and he could take it away in an instant, or he could double it or triple it. He just wants you to learn to be unselfish. Have you got that kind of relationship with God where you trust your Father? And when he says, can I have a fry? He doesn't need your fry. He just wants you to learn to be generous. Can I have the first fry? He just wants to see if you trust him, if you believe these promises in his word. One of the promises in God's word is this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Have you been saved? If you haven't, you can be saved today. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not anything else. It's not 15 other things. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Each week, we recommit our lives to Jesus at Saddleback Church. And if you haven't ever done that, you've never given your life to Christ for the very first time, let me lead you in a prayer right now. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for everyone who's listening right now. And there may be some here who never have stepped across the line. They've known about you, Jesus, but they've never opened their life to you. They've never opened their heart to you. They've never put their trust in you. So hear their prayer, their humble prayer today. Now you say, dear God, dear Jesus Christ, I don't know everything to say, but I'm saying I need you and I want you in my life and I want to learn to trust you and I want to turn from my way of living to your way of living and I want to know God's purpose for my life and I want to spend the rest of my life getting to know you. Thank you for dying for me. Help me to understand the meaning of that. Thank you for forgiving everything I've ever done wrong. I ask you to humbly accept me into your family and into heaven one day. In your name I pray. Amen. Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, rick@pastorrick.com, and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus, and I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again, to find out more about this ministry, and to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, if you'd like to step out of an ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith, then you're going to want to order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith Study Kit, and it includes a DVD, and it includes a workbook. Now, there's six sessions in the Daring Faith Study Kit, and it'll teach you these six things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith Study Kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the Daring Faith Study Kit, a six-session DVD and workbook. As our way of saying thanks, go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.